Hello, I'm Norma Galumbus. Welcome to the Norma Galumbus Lifestyle Podcast, a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Today's episode is called Look Mom No Hands, Look Mom No Feet, Look Mom No Teeth. The bicycle was invented in Europe in 1885, and through the generations, the memory of a first bicycle continues to stand out as a significant life event. The hub's dad traded grain screenings to the elevator agent in exchange for a bike for him. The bike was big, but he eventually mastered it. Later, he got a brand new red J.C. Higgins bike that came in on the train from Sears. The station manager's son kindly put it together for him. My parents bought me a green banana seat wheelie bike with monkey bar handles. It was dark by the time we got it set up, but my brother and I went outside anyway and took turns riding it under the yard light. That was a good day. Learning to ride a bike has always been an important rite of passage. I don't recall having training wheels on our bikes at the farm. That probably was an extra option that parents didn't bother with. If you did have training wheels, you would have been ridiculed by the other kids anyway. You either learned to ride quickly or you were left behind spinning your wheels in a dusty pothole. Usually, an older sibling was around to show the younger ones the ropes, so my parents didn't have to trot behind my bike holding me up. Running down the gravel street in front of our house, holding on to the back of my kid's banana seat bike, is a vivid memory for me though. Although that was in the 90s, the feeling of letting go and watching them wobble away remains. There was a balloon tire bike and a plain black bike that my older siblings had when they were at home, and we younger kids tried to ride them years later. They were adult size, so that didn't work out that well. The bike I had was basic, but when my kids were teens, they rode speed bikes. My daughter just told me that the bike she has now has 21 speeds. I didn't even know bikes could have that many speeds. How is it that I am today years old and just finding this out? Oh, and a kickstand. Getting a kickstand for your bike was a big deal. I don't know why we thought that was important, as we never used it anyway. We just dropped our bikes wherever we stopped. Who had time for a kickstand? We would skid up to the house and leave our bikes leaning against the cement slab step, ready for when we returned. If Dad went outside before us, we caught heck for ditching our bikes on his path. If you have ever been around when your parent tripped over your bike, you know what I'm talking about. A playing card attached to the wheel spokes made an impressive, loud, slapping sound, and a horn to honk was always a bonus. When I was a little girl, I envied the kids with the cool plastic streamers hanging from their bike's hand grips. We tied our little red wagon to a bicycle with a piece of baler twine and pulled each other around or hauled water to flush out some gophers. Every spring, we would ride out and check the fence line along the road to see if the crocuses were blooming yet. The seat on a bike was another issue. The old bike seats were hard as rock and left your butt feeling worse for the wear. Over the years, manufacturers came out with plusher seats, even gel ones. Back in the 60s and 70s, we didn't have bike helmets, elbow pads, or knee pads. There weren't any legal requirements for bicycle safety gear. If you crashed, it was viewed as just part of growing up. Bike riding seemed like a reasonably harmless activity, but it was not without its perils. Everyone remembers biffing it off a bike and fearlessly getting right back on. There's nothing that reminds a kid that they're not invincible faster than a solid road rash. One time we were riding down the lane at a good clip, and my brother hit a patch of loose gravel. In a flash, his bike jackknifed and the handlebar nailed him hard on the side of the knee. He fell to the ground. The blow must have hit some nerves. His whole leg went numb, and he couldn't get up at first. I didn't know what to do. I just stood there, straddling my bike, looking down at him with a bewildered expression of, what the hell just happened? I think we abandoned his bike where it lay and slowly made our way back to the house. One other time, he hit the rhubarb by the house and slid face first on the ground. That was a bad one. Who can forget getting their pant leg caught in the greasy chain of their bike? You had to slowly roll your bike to release the pressure on the fabric. A distinct chain imprint, or perhaps a rip, was left on your pants. Attempting tricks like riding with your eyes closed, standing on the seat, or popping wheelies while speeding down a rough country road seemed like a better idea than it really was. Double riding with a passenger on the seat behind you, holding their feet out at an awkward angle, or one sitting in front of you with their feet perched on the handlebars to keep them out of the spokes, were other classic moves. A passenger hitching a ride, standing on the rear axle and hanging on to the driver's shoulders, was another ill-fated venture tried by many. These activities were a tad treacherous, but fun nonetheless. If you could ride with no hands on the handlebars, your skill level was considered substantial. It wasn't a feat that everyone could perform. Many maneuvers didn't end well, though. Thus the saying, look, Mom, no hands. Look, Mom, no feet. Look, Mom, no teeth. Bicycles can be tricky, and they can disappear right from under you. It is possible that I remember us being bigger daredevils than we really were. Time has a way of diluting memories. On summer days, my brother and I rode down the lane and onto the open road, pulling over for the odd vehicle or farm implement that passed. Eventually, our little sister joined us on our adventures. We were 7 and 9 years older than her, so she had difficulty keeping up on her little bike. We expected her to prove herself if she was going to roll with us. With tiny legs pedaling double time, she earned her spot on the bike squad. We rode around for a long time before anyone came to look for us. Our parents worried about us getting hit by a vehicle, but they felt we were safe otherwise. They were confident that we would show up back at home eventually. There were no cell phones, and we didn't wear watches. Time didn't mean anything to us anyway. We were like farm animals. We sensed when it was time to return for supper. My brother claims I stopped biking with him in my teens. I guess I had other pressing interests. He bought himself a 10-speed road bike from Sears and kept on riding. He would go the quarter mile to the neighbors where he worked or ride 3 miles into town to visit a friend. When my nieces and nephews visited the farm, 5 or 6 old bikes were lying around that they could ride. They got a kick out of dragging those old bikes out of the long grass by the garage and taking them for a spin. Riding back and forth past the granaries to the field, through the yard again and down the lane, kept them occupied for hours. When my kids were little, I had a blue ladies' bike that I called the Roadster. It boasted a wire basket on the front and was equipped with a child carrier on the back. One day, I leaned the bike up against the wall by the door of the post office with my kids strapped in the carrier and darted in to grab my mail. When I came back, the bike had fallen on its side onto the steps, and my poor child was stuck there, hanging strapped upside down in the seat. It wasn't one of my finest parenting moments. People were walking in and out of the post office, looking at me like I was insane. Despite that one transgression, both our kids loved to ride around the village on the back of the Roadster. Our son rode his bicycle. Our son rode his tricycle around Mom and Dad's house when I was at work. I don't think it ever got any outdoor miles on it. He would go back and forth from the kitchen to the living room, back again. Our son is tall, and the bike he had in high school was a men's 10-speed with a high seat. One day, I foolhardily decided to ride it uptown, get groceries. I got to the store, okay, but of course, I bought more than I had planned. When I set off for home, I had a heavy bag hanging from each handlebar. I weaved as my load shifted. Finally, I crashed into the gravel. To add insult to injury, it then started to rain, and I had to limp my way home, pushing the bike, plus lugging my groceries, which I had retrieved from the dirt. Through the years, there were annual parades and functions, and the kids in the community decorated their bikes with streamers, balloons, flowers, in the hopes of winning a prize. They were so proud to ride in the procession with their parents and grandparents, snapping pictures and cheering them on. My daughter and I also participated in several bike-a-thon fundraisers. Many parents can relate to the experience of going bike riding with your kids and coming home carrying the bike and the kid. Bicycles are clean green machines that are ridden around the world. What's that saying? The one that compares doing something you haven't done in a while to riding a bike? Oh, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. Bicycles have longevity. They are passed down from siblings and cousins and are bought and sold at garage sales. I've heard that banana seat bikes from the 70s are hard to find now and are worth some cash. Dang, I should have kept mine. It takes a lot before a bike is hit the landfill. By then, if it could talk, it would have many stories to tell. I can't recall the last time I rode a bike, but maybe I will buy myself a new one. Of course, it would have to be a green banana seat wheelie bike with monkey bar handles. Once the hub gets it put together, I'm going to ride it after dark under the street lights. Our son rode his tricycle around Mom and Dad's house when I was at work. I don't think it ever got any outdoor miles on it. He would go back and forth from the kitchen to the living room, back again. Our son is tall, and the bike he had in high school was a men's 10-speed with a high seat. One day, I foolhardily decided to ride it uptown, get groceries. I got to the store, okay, but of course, I bought more than I had planned. When I set off for home, I had a heavy bag hanging from each handlebar. I weaved as my load shifted. Finally, I crashed into the gravel. To add insult to injury, it then started to rain, and I had to limp my way home, pushing the bike, plus lugging my groceries, which I had retrieved from the dirt. Through the years, there were annual parades and functions, and the kids in the community decorated their bikes with streamers, balloons, flowers, in the hopes of winning a prize. They were so proud to ride in the procession with their parents and grandparents, snapping pictures and cheering them on. My daughter and I also participated in several bike-a-thon fundraisers. Many parents can relate to the experience of going bike riding with your kids and coming home carrying the bike and the kid. Bicycles are clean green machines that are ridden around the world. What's that saying? The one that compares doing something you haven't done in a while to riding a bike? Oh, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. Bicycles have longevity. They are passed down from siblings and cousins and are bought and sold at garage sales. I've heard that banana seat bikes from the 70s are hard to find now and are worth some cash. Dang, I should have kept mine. It takes a lot before a bike is hit the landfill. By then, if it could talk, it would have many stories to tell. I can't recall the last time I rode a bike, but maybe I will buy myself a new one. Of course, it would have to be a green banana seat wheelie bike with monkey bar handles. Once the hub gets it put together, I'm going to ride it after dark under the street lights. Visit my lifestyle blog for episode pictures and links to my garden and published works pages, food blog, and gift shop. My website address is in the episode notes. The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Direct West. Is marketing getting in the way of running your business? Direct West has a local expert team right here in Saskatchewan that will work with you to build your website exactly how you imagine it. Let them help you improve your online presence and head to directwest.com to learn more.
The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Kinaxis. Does money spark joy in your life or cause you stress? If you said stress, you're not alone. For 42% of Canadians, their biggest stressor comes from money. At Kinaxis, they care about your financial well-being. Money doesn't have to be stressful, and Kinaxis is here to help. The Kinaxis hashtag MoneyTalk blog provides expert advice, tips, and solutions for all life stages and events. Getting married, buying a house, budgeting, saving, they cover it all and more. And did I mention it's free? Check it out today at kinaxismoneytalk.ca and start feeling confident and stress-free about your money.